The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. We want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to a message from Pastor Jeremiah Vick.
All right, you guys, good morning. Man, it's good to be back. I heard Christian did an amazing job last Sunday, though, so you guys were in good hands. And thank you, Peter and others who held on the fort for us. we survived, barely. I feel like we barely survived. Those of you guys who have kind of been talking with me about our little backpacking trip, you know we were really looking forward to seeing some bears, and we didn't see any bears. We did see a little bit of wildlife, but not the amounts of wildlife that we were promised. So, it was much more than we bargained for. Let me just tell you that climbing the mountain and coming out the other side was way more physically exhausting than we thought it would be. So, anyway, thank you for your prayers. Appreciate you guys. I'm just assuming you were praying for me. Some of you guys are probably like, now he's going to see what it's like. Anyway, it was an awesome, awesome trip. Spectacular views. You guys want to see some pictures, then hit me up. But we really had a great time. So, again, thank you for your prayers. Oh, I forgot the clicker. Josiah, could you grab that for me? That'd be awesome. All right, but last week, Christian did an amazing job. Man, I was really impressed with, I'm always impressed with Christian. He really does do a great job. And so, I appreciate him coming along and helping us out. But so today you get something that you didn't get last week when Christian was here. We're going to do a little bit of review just to kind of remind us of where we've been and what we've been talking about. But today the message title is "You're Not the Boss of You." As Peter hinted at, you know, that the idea is that a lot of times we don't want somebody else telling us what to do because we want to be in charge. And it's pretty obvious from the passage we're going to look at today that we're not the ones in charge of even our own lives. And so the more we surrender to that, then the better off we're going to be. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But here's some review. Let's talk about things that we have already covered. So some of this is going to sound familiar. Well, all of it should sound familiar to you. But we have to trust God during tough times because He uses them to produce endurance and spiritual maturity in us. So that's we learned that from the first chapter. We also learned we must rely on God's strength to resist temptation. And we know that He can be trusted because He never changes. God never changes. Our circumstances around us are constantly fluctuating, but God never does. And then we learned that we honor God by not allowing our emotions to control us and by not only hearing His word, but by living it out. So James talks specifically about how anger is one of those emotions that control us. And the only way that we can really honor God is by paying attention to what He's saying and putting it into practice. And this is a theme that, as you guys know, has just continually popped up throughout this series. Then we learned that there's a big difference between being religious and living a life that honors God by treating others well. So it's not just about following rules. It's not just about having our own rituals and things that we do. But it's about how we treat other people and our relationship with Jesus. Then we also learn we're not perfect, so we cannot place unrealistic expectations on others. It's easy for us to do. We look at other people's lives, and we can easily say, oh, you can always find somebody who's worse off than you, right? You can always find someone who's engaged in worse behavior than you. And so it's easy for us to look at other people and say, oh, man, look at how messed up they are. But we cannot expect people to maintain a perfect standard because we can't even do that ourselves. Then we also learned that we cannot say we have an alive, genuine faith unless it's accompanied by actions of obedience towards God. So if we're not being obedient, if we're not doing what God tells us to do, then we have to question whether our faith is really genuine. Then we learned that we have to honor God with the things we say and with the way we apply His wisdom to our daily living. So James kind of paired these two things together, our tongue, the language we use, the way we speak, we have to surrender that to God, and we honor him by the way we speak to others. And then we also learn that if we're not applying God's wisdom to our lives, then we also get in trouble there. Then we learn that when I put myself before God, this is last week, Christian covered this, when I put myself before God, my life blends in with the world and my faith fades into the background. So my faith becomes less visible the more I rely upon myself and less upon God. Christian did a great job of talking about the whole idea of how God is greater than us, and we often have the attitude of I'm greater than God, at least by the way we behave. All right, so I've divided it up into the four chapters we covered so far. So chapter one lays the groundwork for the theme of faith and works, teaching that true faith is demonstrated through actions, not just words. And then chapter two emphasizes the importance of our faith being demonstrated through how we treat others. So the whole chapter was about this outward expression of our faith towards other people. And then chapter three continues to emphasize the importance of faith being demonstrated through actions, particularly in the way we speak and how we apply God's wisdom. And then chapter four, which is where we're at right now, first part of it warns us against pride, selfish desires, and worldly living, urging us to submit to God and live in obedience. So that brings us up to where we're at today. Hopefully, I know we went through that kind of fast, but it should be familiar to you. If not, then you know you can always grab these notes off of our YouTube channel or website. So today we're going to learn that when we make big plans without considering what God wants for us, we're making a big mistake. So it's all about how God needs to be in and through the plans that we make in order for us to honor him with our lives. So let me read James chapter 4. We'll be in verses 13 through 17 that take us to the end of chapter 4. It says, "Look here, you who say today or tomorrow, we're going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like a mist. It's here a little while and then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it." So, Father, I pray that today as we dive into this passage, God, I ask that you would speak to us, that you would help us to recognize how incredibly important it is for us to rely upon you and consult you before we make plans. God, help us to recognize that surrendering to your will is really the only way for us to live. And I pray that the words that I share this morning will be your words. Thank you, God. We love you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. All right. So James talks a lot about time in this passage. So you ever notice how the older you get, time just seems to be so much shorter. The years go by so much faster. When you were a little kid, it felt like Christmas would never come around again. You're waiting and waiting and waiting, or you're waiting for, you know, for school to start. Really, the only thing that moved quickly when I was a kid was summer, felt like. But then when you get older, all of a sudden, it's like time is just flying by. And every year is shorter, and you're just like, oh, man, how is it that Walmart is already selling Christmas stuff? You know, this just doesn't seem right. You know, it's Valentine's Day, and they already got the Christmas stuff out. But, I mean, this is what happens, right? The years just get shorter and shorter and shorter. It moves so quickly. And so it's obvious to us that life moves at a pretty quick pace. And so James really emphasizes the fact that everything is temporary around us, and our lives are just a vapor. They're here for 1 minute, and then they're gone. And in the perspective of eternity, we make big plans, but are we thinking about eternity, or are we just thinking about the temporal? And so that's what James is going to be addressing today. Where's God in our planning? Verses 13 to 14, he says, look here, you who say today or tomorrow, we're going to go to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We'll do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like a mist. It's here a little while, and then it's gone. When I was a kid, maybe you've done this, maybe you still do this. We used to play this game where we would find shapes in the clouds. You ever done that before? And you would try to find animals, and you would get, you'd see a cloud formation, and you figure out that it's looking like a particular animal, right? This one's here, you know, looking like a bunny rabbit, and, you know, there's the dog, right? There's a duck. So you see these cloud formations, but when you try to point out a cloud formation to somebody, have you ever noticed that it starts to change? And so, like, you're trying to get them to see what you're seeing, but in the time it takes for them to, like, find the cloud that you're looking at, it's already changed shape. So it might be like a giraffe, and you're like, okay, look, it's right here, and you're trying to line up their eye with your finger, you know, point it out, and then by the time they're like, yeah, I think I see it, and you're like, no, it's not a giraffe anymore. Now it's a seal balancing a beach ball, you know, and they're like, no, I don't see it. You're like, no, forget it. It's a boot now, you know. It's like it just keeps changing shape, and why is that? Because it's a vapor. Right? It doesn't stay. It doesn't remain. It passes away. And this is what the point that James is making here, is that these things don't last. Our lives don't last. The things around us don't last. They're here one moment, and then they're gone. So what is James telling us here? He's basically saying life is short, and our plans are unreliable. Life moves so quickly, and the plans that we make, we can't depend on those plans, especially if we don't include God in those plans. And so we've got to face each day with eternity in mind. We have to face every single day thinking about eternity, thinking about things that have eternal value, because if we're just thinking about the temporal, the things that are here in this moment, then we've lost our perspective as a follower of Jesus. Proverbs 27 verse 1 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring." How many of you have ever made plans and then your plans just went completely down the toilet? You know, you planned out your whole day, and then by about halfway through the day, you realize, this day is not going to go anywhere near what I thought it was going to. Maybe you plan a whole week out that way. Maybe you plan a hike and you're just like, this is going to be easy. We're going to be able to do 10 miles in one day. And you're like 2.7 miles in and you think you're going to die, right? I mean, stuff like that happens, right? You make all these big plans, and then you realize, it's really not turning out the way I thought it was going to. Jesus tells a story about this rich man who had those kind of plans. It's in Luke 12, 16 through 21. It says, then he told him a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, what should I do? I don't have room for all my crops. Then he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and I'll say to myself, my friend, he's calling himself his friend. Do you do that when you talk to yourself, my friend? You have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you've worked for? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. And so what Jesus is communicating to the people that were listening is that you can't make all these plans and not include God in these plans, because what? Those things are going to pass away. Those things are going to be gone. And so the more that habit of leaving God out of your plans, the more disappointed you're going to be. Now, I'm not saying that an angel is going to show up and say, hey, guess what? You're going to die tonight. But the reality is we don't know when we're going to leave this earth. We don't know how much time we have, and so we have to be ready at any moment. Now, obviously, I'm not espousing not making any preparations at all. You have to prepare, right? You have to plan. You have to, prepare for the future. But don't make any plans. Don't make any preparations without consulting God, without making sure that you are listening to what God is telling you, how he wants to do it. This parable that Jesus shares, it tells us so much about ourselves. We make big plans only to have them end up exactly the opposite of what we thought they would. The thing is, we get so caught up in the pursuit of what we want for our lives, we don't stop to consider that God may have a better plan for us. And he does. God does have a better. Matter of fact, God is way better at planning than you are. God is the plan maker, right? God is the ultimate plan maker. And so he's so much better at it than us. Charles Spurgeon said it this way. He said, there are two great certainties about the things that shall come to pass. One is that God knows, and the other is that we do not know. two things you can be sure of. God knows what's coming. We don't know. And so we have to pay attention. We have to listen to the one that really does know. James goes on in verses 15 and 16. He says, what you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own plans, and all such boasting is evil. And the word that he uses here for boasting is the word arrogance. Pretending to offer something that works. And it's a word that's used to describe a charlatan who wanders from town to town trying to sell you phony goods. You know, like this guy right here. He wants to sell you snake oil, right? It's going to cure everything. It's the elixir, the ultimate healing product, right? And these things are being offered to us all the time. You've seen them, right? You've seen the advertisements. Don't listen to the long list of the warnings that they give you, all the, you know, the side effects, all that stuff. But there's always something that you're trying to be sold something. And most of the times it really doesn't measure up to what it's supposed to be. And so the main point that James is making here is that we are literally selling ourselves phony goods when we're boasting in our own efforts. When we're saying, I have the better plan than God, we're just like this guy. We're selling ourselves something that really doesn't have any substance or any value. In other words, it's not only foolish to make plans without consulting God, it is also sinful, right? He said, all such boasting is evil. It's wrong for us to make plans and to forget to include God or forget to consult God when we make our plans. What is James telling us? He's basically saying our plans must be in tune with God's plan. Our plans must be in tune with God's plan. I remember when I was first learning to play the guitar, and I always had trouble tuning the guitar. You know, I was learning the chords, I was getting the songs down that I was trying to learn, but tuning the guitar. Matter of fact, Debbie's dad was the one that taught me how to play guitar, and so I would go to him and I'd say, Leonard, could you tune my guitar for me, you know? And I did that a few times. I'm like, I gotta figure this out. I gotta somehow figure out what it's supposed to sound like without, you know, always having to rely on either Debbie's dad or a tuner. And then someone, I don't remember who, came along and taught me how to tune my guitar using harmonics. And so that was a big changer for me, because I could start with the top string and I could tune everything according to the tone of the top string. I could get it close without using a tuner or without, you know, having any help, but I could never get it to sound just right until I learned how to tune with harmonics. And all of a sudden, I could make the strings harmonize perfectly, and I'm like, oh man, this is beautiful. I love how I can do this, and I could do it quickly, and I'm done. Now, I wasn't always necessarily tuning it exactly to whatever key, but I could make the guitar sound like it was perfectly tuned by simply using harmonics. And it's the same way with our lives. Like, we have to calibrate our lives with God's plan, with God's will. If we're not doing that, then we're not in tune with God. Matthew 23, verse 12 says, whoever exalts himself shall be humbled. When we exalt our plans above God's plans, guess what? We get humbled pretty quick. And I don't know about you, but I've been humbled way too many times by relying upon myself more than upon God. And what happens? What happens when we rely upon ourselves more than God? Pride takes over when we take ownership of our life plan. When we say, this is my life, this is the way I'm doing it, this is how it's going to be, that's our pride speaking. And the Bible speaks against that. David Guzik says, it is nothing but sheer arrogance that makes us think that we can live and move and have our being independent of God. We can't do it. There's nothing, literally nothing we can do without God. So why do we pretend that we can? Why do we pretend that somehow we can function without relying upon God, and somehow it's going to end up better than it would have been if we were listening to him? The prophet Isaiah reminds us that God's plan is so much better than anything that we could come up with. He tells us in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. We have to get this idea out of our heads that we somehow think that we're smarter than God. And we would never actually verbalize that. You'd never actually come out and say, hey, I'm smarter than God. Because just saying that out loud sounds stupid. But we do things. We make plans. Right? We head a certain direction because we're like, you know what? I think I know better. And we start to walk away from God. We start to step out of his plan for our lives every time we do that. But what is God saying here? He's saying, I know what I'm doing, and you don't. So pay attention. Why do I think sometimes that I can come up with a better tomorrow for myself than God can come up with? The best tomorrow that I can come up with myself doesn't compare to what God has for me. That's why I'm not the plan maker. I'm the plan follower. We have to be the plan follower. We can't be the one that designs the plans. You know, I talk about we have to trust God's plan. We have to listen to God. Wouldn't it be great if we had like this like step-by-step instruction manual? Like if we had some sort of, you know, guideline that we can follow so that we always know we're doing exactly what we're supposed to do, right? Oh, we do have that. Oh man, what am I thinking? We have exactly everything that we need in order for us to really understand this life and do what God wants us to do. God has given us it. He's given us his word so that we can follow it, so we can pay attention to it, so we know what God is saying to us. We have a roadmap to follow. Let's not neglect that. I think if you don't hear anything else, you need to understand that without God's word being at the center of your life, you're not going to be able to come up with any kind of plan for your life. Verse 17, remember it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. God is saying it's sinful to not consult him when you know that you're supposed to do it. And the thing that makes it a sin is the knowledge, is knowing that it's the right thing. Once you know it's the right thing, guess what? To not do it is a sin. We call that a sin of omission, right? There's the sins of commission where you do something that God has forbidden, and then there's the sins of omission where you don't do the things that God is asking you to do. And this is what we do. We're guilty of the sin of omission when we make our own plans and we leave God out of our plans. So knowing God's plan but not following it is wrong. To know God's plan and not to follow it is wrong. The problem is we're not consulting God's word when we're making our plans, yet we have no problem blaming God when things go wrong. You ever notice that? It's like we're not paying attention to what God is telling us to do, and then when things go south, guess who gets the blame? God gets the blame, right? We get angry with God. We get upset with him. Instead of being upset with ourselves, instead of saying, oh man, Jeremiah, why weren't you listening to what God was telling you? Why weren't you paying attention? Why weren't you being obedient to God? Guess what I do instead? I'm like, God, where were you on that one? God, why would you let that situation happen? Or why would you allow this to fall apart? You know, it's super easy for me to blame all of my mistakes on the God who's in control of everything. You know, I'll tell myself, you know, God, if you're in control, why didn't you change that one thing? Why didn't you do this little tweak here so that my day went a little bit better? And I imagine what God is saying to me is, Jeremiah, why weren't you paying attention when I told you what to do? Why didn't you tweak your day a little bit to line up with my will, with what I had for you? Guess what? That's a much better plan, much better than what I came up with. Simply put, if you have a relationship with the one who makes all the plans and he's written a plan for you and you're not following it, you're in the wrong. You're in the wrong if you're not following that plan. Back in 1919, there was a thing that called the Black Sox Scandal. I don't know if you heard about this, but basically 8 members of the Chicago White Sox were accused of taking bribes from gamblers in exchange for intentionally losing the World Series. So they threw the game just so they could get money. And these guys all got caught, and they were all banned from baseball for life. There was one guy who didn't receive a bribe. His name was Buck Weaver. He's one of the 8. He played to win despite knowing about the conspiracy. But the baseball commissioner said, guess what? You knew about it. And that makes you complicit. And so you also are banned for life from baseball. Man, I bet that guy at that moment, you know, he thought he was scot-free because he didn't take a bribe, but he knew other guys were taking a bribe, and guess what? He got kicked out as well. And this is the same thing for us. We have to recognize that we're still accountable for the things that God has told us to do. If we don't do those things, we're still accountable for them. We're still guilty if we don't do what God is asking us to do. Jesus, in John chapter 9, he heals a blind man. I'm going to read it for you in just a second, what he says. But a little bit of backstory here. So Jesus heals this blind man, and the religious leaders are all upset with him. In fact, at first they don't believe that Jesus actually healed the guy. They think it's a different guy. And so they're like, go talk to this guy's parents and find out if it's really the same guy, because we think Jesus is pulling a fast one on us, right? Like switching up the guy that he healed. And so sure enough, the parents confirm, yeah, this is our son. He was born blind, and now he can see, right? So the religious leaders are all upset. So they go back to Jesus, right? And Jesus happens to be talking to this blind man, and they overhear the conversation that's being said. And Jesus starts to say this. He starts to say, I not only came to heal the blind, but I also came to heal those who think that they can see. And the religious leaders took that personal. They're like, oh, he's talking about us. And he was. And so they say to him, so are you saying that we're blind? Is that what you're trying to get at, that we're blind? And this is what Jesus says to them. He says, if you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains. You religious leaders, you claim to know so much about how life works. You claim to know so much about God's truth. And you think that you're better than everybody because of that. But guess what? That actually makes you more guilty when you don't live in obedience to God. The more we know, the more we have to do, the more we have to obey, the more we have to surrender. The more you understand about God, the more you learn about God, the more accountable you are for what you know. Now, you may hear that and be like, okay, well, I guess I'm done learning, right? I don't want to know anything else, because the more I learn, the more I have to do, the more I'm accountable for. But that's what it's like to be in a relationship with Jesus. It's about learning more about who he is and more about how this life works. And there's no other way that you can receive fulfillment. There's no other more rewarding way of living than to get to know God, than to get to know Jesus well. But it does come with a cost. Because the more you know about God, the more you recognize God's plan for your life. And the more you have to surrender to him. R.C. Sproul said, the worst form of deception is self-deception. And the deadliest kind is to hear the truth and do nothing about it. To be exposed to the truth and remain unchanged. That's such a travesty in the life of a Jesus follower. 2 Peter 2:21, Peter says, it would be better if they had never known the way of righteousness than to know it and then reject the command they were given to live a holy life. Peter's saying, it'd be better that they didn't know anything at all than to reject God's truth and not live by it. And that's true for us. But you've been exposed to God's truth. God has given you the knowledge. He's given you pieces of himself. And now you're accountable to him. Now you're responsible to learn what he has for you. The bottom line is this. We are without excuse when it comes to living in obedience to God. We don't have an excuse. We can't say, oh, I didn't know. Or we can't say, oh, you know, I didn't realize that trusting God was a better idea than trusting myself. No, we know the truth. And so my challenge to you, don't make plans without consulting God. Don't say, okay, this is what my day is going to look like. No, ask God, God, what do you want my day to look like? God, what do you want me to do with my week? God, what do you want me to do with my future? God, how do you want me to live my life? What's the path you want me to follow? Those are the right questions to ask. If we're not asking those questions, we're on our own. We're forging our own path. You know, when we were hiking, there was a pretty clearly marked path, and we were hiking through some pretty rough territory. And so anytime you step off that path, you were putting yourself in danger. And there was one particular place where we were hiking, and it had, was kind of along a rock slide. And as I'm hiking to the spot, the ground actually was pretty smooth. It was kind of sandy. And matter of fact, it was one of the only places in the hike where it was smooth. We weren't like stepping over rocks and tree roots and all that. And I'm like, oh, this is like the nicest little stretch of path. But as I got on that stretch of path and I started heading down it, I realized I'm actually probably on the most dangerous stretch of path we've been on, because it was so smooth, but yet there was this sheer drop-off on one side of us. So if we had stepped on, you know, just in the wrong place in the sand and it started to move, it could have just pushed us right off of that hill, right off of that cliff. The same is true for us. If we are not following God's plan, if we're not paying attention to where God is leading us and where he's asking us to place our feet, we can end up in serious trouble. And this is what James is warning us about in this passage, that we need to not make plans and not rely upon our own plans, but rely upon the plans that God has made for us. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you. Thank you, God, for loving us so much that you have made it perfectly clear what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to live. I pray, Father, that we would never ignore that we would never just try to go out and forge our own way and try to do our own thing. Father, help us to rely upon you, to listen to you, pay attention to your Holy Spirit, read your word, understand what you're trying to communicate with us. All these things are so important for us as we try to live a life that brings you honor. And Father, that's the ultimate goal for us, to bring you honor. Help us to do that, God. But first of all, Father, help us to not rely so much upon ourselves. Help us not to depend so much on our own abilities, our own intelligence, our own fortitude. Help us to rely upon you. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here today and you know you've relied upon yourself way too much. You know you've depended upon yourself more than you've depended upon God. And maybe right now God is nudging you and saying, I want you to get back on my path. I want you to surrender these things to me. I want you to plan out your day with me in mind, the things that are important to me. If you need help with that, I'd love to pray for you. Just lift up your hand. Awesome. Anybody else? Just lift that up high, nice and high so I can see. Awesome. Father, thank you. Thank you for those that acknowledge right now, Father, that they need more of you in their lives. They need more direction from you. They need to pay more attention to what you're doing. And so, Father, I ask that you would help us to see more clearly. Help us to surrender daily. God, help us to be an everyday thing where we rely upon you and learn to depend upon your way and not our own. Thank you, God. We love you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. All right. I'll be in the back if you guys need prayer. Love you guys.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com. Before